This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله العظيم من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح للأمة وكشف الغمة وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فعليه أفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين وأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله وقد أمرنا بالحق وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم أما بعد we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declaring his perfection and declaring that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his peace and blessings upon him, his family, his companions, and those that follow until the day of judgment. And we ask Allah to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, last week we spoke about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way that he left the impact that he did sallallahu alayhi wasallam without ever writing an autobiography, without ever going to any extremes and praising himself and actually going to lengths to make sure that people would not overpraise him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we drew lessons from that, and also, you know, the lives of the great people like Imam Malik, rahimahullah, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad, Imam Ash-Shafi'i, the four Imams, great companions, great tabi'een, so on and so forth, that consciously used to make an effort not to be recognized, but instead to do things only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing that these people, as they spoke only to promote Islam, as they lived only to promote Islam, as they worked only for His sake subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them great examples, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in a position of glory. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, and I just want to continue on that same subject. He tells us about Fir'aun and his people. He says, كَمْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ وَزُرُوعٍ وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ وَنِعْمَةٍ كَانُوا فِيهَا فَاكِهِينَ كَذَلِكَ وَأَوْرَثْنَاهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنظَرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how many gardens and how many waterfalls and how many, you know, palaces did these people leave behind. How much did they establish themselves on this earth? How much did Fir'aun leave behind? How much did Qarun leave behind? How much did Nimrud leave behind? All of these kings that we read about, these tyrants that we've read about, you know, how many things did they leave behind? How many things did they build on this earth? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just like that, they passed away, and we caused another group of people to inherit it. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means when He says inherited here, Allah azza wa jalla is not talking about children inheriting. Allah is talking about the believers taking their palaces and taking all that they had established in this world. And Allah says, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضِ. Nor the heavens nor the earth shed a tear for these people. No one cared about them when they passed away. No one said anything. If anything, people celebrated as they passed away. People celebrated as they died. But no one felt a void as they left this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says this, Allah azza wa jal obviously makes this an example for us. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was asked a question. He said, do the heavens or the earth cry for anybody in the first place? You know, this idea of the heaven. Now we know people cry. When even, you know, the worst person in the world, when he leaves, there will be some people that will cry for him. Right? People cry when that person leaves. But the heavens and the earth, do they physically actually cry? And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that there isn't a person in this world except that his place of sujood, his place of prostration, that believer as he passes away, his sajda place. I want you to think about this, especially those of you that come here on a daily basis and you have a certain spot that you naturally find yourself in. That place will cry for you when you pass away. Your place of sajda would actually feel a void. It would miss your head. It would miss your nose. It would miss your face. It would miss your whispering into the earth saying, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glory be to the Most High. And the Most High hearing you as you whisper into the earth. It would miss you and it would cry for you. لَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you wouldn't understand their glorification, nor would you understand the way that they cry. And there is a gate that is open to the through the heavens, through which your good deeds ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you pass away, that gate closes. And so the heavens would cry for that person as well. And it's a very powerful notion, it's a very powerful concept. It's one that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about in regards to the scholar, in regards to someone who benefits others. Rasulullah ﷺ says, وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمَ لَيَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى الْحِيْتَانُ فِي الْمَاءِ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that as for the scholar, everyone in the heavens, everyone in the earth would seek forgiveness for that person. Of course, this is talking about the righteous inhabitants, even the fish in the sea would seek forgiveness for the scholar when he passes away. Obviously, this is a scholar that would benefit them, right? Because of the good that he brings to this world. Now, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he experienced an amazing, you know, incident in his own life. And it shows you the quality of those companions of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that we were speaking about. Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu commanded the Muslim army in the famous battle of Qadisiyah, which was a battle against the Persians. And the Persians, obviously, were the, you know, a strong empire of that time, the dominant empire of that time. And the Prophet ﷺ, he gave glad tidings to the Muslims that you would conquer Persia. And he even ﷺ specified al-Baytul Abyad, the White House, Baytu Kisra or Ali Kisra, not our White House, the White House of Kisra, the White Palace of Kisra, and the family of Kisra, that you would one day bring that back to Islam. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he commanded that army, and in that battle, they crossed through the Tigris River. And when I say they crossed through it, this was one of the karamats, one of the miracles that happened with that army, was that they didn't have any boats, they didn't have anything to sail. They literally walked through the water with their horses, and they made it out to the other side, trusting no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the miracles that's established in our Islamic history, that this entire army crosses through this river, not drowning. And subhanAllah, Miqdad and others who were part of that army that day, they say that when we got out of the river, we didn't even feel wet. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly blessed them on that day. And as they fought the Persians in this fierce battle, and the house of Kisra fell, and they entered into this palace, and they saw couches and beds and recliners and rugs that they'd never seen before, literally Persian rugs that they'd never seen before, jewelry that they'd never seen before, and their eyes fell upon them. Not one of them thought to themselves, this is going to look really good in my living room back in Medina. Right? Like, I can't wait to give this to my wife. I can't wait to take this home. I can't wait to do this. And subhanAllah, the furniture of Kisra was so heavy that you had to have multiple companions carrying it at the same time. SubhanAllah. I mean, it was a momentous occasion. And Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, as he saw the Muslims and he saw the fact that they were so detached from this world, that it didn't, that's not what really appealed to them. They weren't happy and pleased because they now had more money for themselves. They were happy for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recited those verses that I started this khutbah off with, talking about Kisra and the family of Kisra. Look at all of these things that they left behind. But when they left this world, what did they leave behind? What legacy did they leave behind? And what did people say about them? And did people care about them? And did people feel a void as they left this world or not? And the great scholar Abul Hasan al-Nadwi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that that aspect of the character of the companions, that they passed into that palace and out of that palace, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not feeling any attachment to this world, not wanting to take that back with them to their own homes, is a greater accomplishment, is a greater miracle than them passing through the Tigris River. And in fact, them passing through the river is symbolic of that they passed through the ocean of this dunya, and they were not tarnished by it, they weren't wet by it. They came in, you know, they came through it with this idea of using this world to establish their next life and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not having those personal goals to where it's all about themselves, it's all about their own fame. And as you write the history books, are you going to say that I commanded this side of the army? And who was it that got through the door first? And who was it that fought this person first? That was never in their, you know, that was never even within their state of mind. You know, to even consider those things. Who's going to get the glory? And numerous times you find with these people, you know, that they would cover their faces and they would hide the, you know, their heroic, you know, the stances that they took in battle. They would actually hide that from the people. And commanders would call and say, who was it that was doing this and who was it that was doing that? They wouldn't even come forward because it wasn't for themselves. It was about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they came to this world for a purpose and they left this world for a purpose. And as a result of that, we seek forgiveness for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with them. We take them as an example for us. We take these companions. I mean, when the name of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is said amongst the believers, what impact does it have within us? When the name of Umar or Uthman or Ali or Aisha or Khadija, may Allah be pleased with them all, when those names are said, certain stories come to mind right away, right? Certain instances that you remember of their stances with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that wasn't their intention, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote it for them due to their sincerity. Now, how do we bring that back to us, and how do we consider this in our own present circumstances, and what does this mean for us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that when any person leaves this world, imma mustarihin aw mustarahan min, he said that either he is relieved from this world or the world is relieved from him. Every person as he departs from this world, either the world, in whatever capacity, is relieved from that person, or that person is relieved from the world. In the very beautiful words of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, when you entered into this world, everyone around you was laughing in joy, and you were the only one that was crying. You know, as you enter into this world as a baby, you're the only one that's crying. Everyone else around you is laughing and happy, and you have no idea why. You have no idea what you're doing here and what you've come to. So he said, leave this world in a way that you're the only one laughing and everybody else is crying. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful thought that as you're leaving this world and transitioning into another realm that you don't know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes you to laugh out of joy, knowing that there's something greater that's waiting for you. And let everyone else cry because of the goodness that you put forth for them, because of the benefit that you brought to them. Let it switch whenever you pass away from this world. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said something similar. He said, meet people in this world in a way that while you're alive, they can't wait to see you, and when you pass away, they will miss you. You should meet people in that way. You should have that khuluq. You should have that character, whether it's a non-Muslim or a Muslim. That when you deal with people, you deal with them in a way that they long for your company. Right? You give them that extra ihsan, that extra, you know, that extra sense of excellence in dealing with them, so that they would make dua for you, and so that they would remember you, and so that they would speak well of you, not amongst other people, but when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Because that counts for something as well. All of this that we say about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah be pleased with them, and everything that we say about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everything that we say about those great generations of scholars that came afterwards, all of that is to their scale. All of that is a testimony. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in a certain situation where we testify for or against each other on the Day of Judgment. And we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another famous narration, also in Al-Bukhari, you know, a very famous narration, that there was a janazah that was passing by and the Sahaba started to say good things about that person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wajabat, wajabat, wajabat. It's become mandatory, it's become mandatory, it's become mandatory. And another janazah passes by and the Sahaba started to mention some of the things that that person used to do, the evil things. And the Prophet ﷺ says, wajabat, wajabat, wajabat. It's become mandatory, it's become mandatory, it's become mandatory. And they asked the Prophet ﷺ, you know, why is it that you responded that way both times? And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that as for the first person, when you testified of their good, you know, for their good qualities, when you mentioned their good qualities, Jannah became mandatory for that person. Wajabat lahul Jannah. Jannah is now mandatory. Allah has made it a right upon Himself to enter this person into Jannah. And as for the other person, when you mentioned the harm and the abuses, wajabat lahu nar. Hellfire became mandatory for that person as well. So there is this idea of people on the Day of Judgment, as the Prophet ﷺ says, antum shuhada'ullahi fil ard. You are the witnesses of Allah on this earth. There is this idea of people testifying on your behalf on the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we leave this world, that there is no one that we've abused, that there is no one that we owe in regards to money, in regards to their honor and dignity, no one that we've hurt, no one that has not forgiven us when we leave this world, that will ruin us or doom us on the Day of Judgment. Allahumma ameen. Because why? We lose ourselves in that. Can you imagine showing up on the Day of Judgment and that's what ruins you? That's what ruins you? That your arrogance prevented you from seeking forgiveness from someone that you harmed? And when you pass away, they would actually speak against you? Now here's the thing. The discussion of leaving a legacy in a secular realm is all about having people mention you. It's all about people saying wonderful things about you. But the discussion from an Islamic perspective is far deeper than that. Because that can also become a form of riya and showing off. We're not trying to get points. We're not trying to get eulogies written for us. We're not trying to get people to say mashallah and great things about us. That's not the goal here. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says in another hadith, man sam'a, sam'a Allahu bih, wa man yura'i, yura'i Allahu bih. That whoever makes it a point to have people hear of their goodness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a point to have people hear of their evil. And whoever makes it a point to have people see their goodness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a point for people to see their evil. And Imam bin Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, that's why you find many people fall from glory in their last moments. Su' al-khitam, that bad ending. You know, may Allah protect us from a bad ending. That bad ending is where people get exposed. You know, it's shameful and many times. You know, you'll see people, subhanAllah, that have lived their whole lives being praised. And then at the end of their lives, evil things start to come out about them. Right? We see it happen with celebrities all the time, don't we? You know, people that are very famous, then all of a sudden, everything that they've done their entire lives to build their legacy is crushed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes people. And this is true, not just for celebrities. This is true for us as believers. This is true for us as Muslims within our own smaller circles. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes people at in their last moments at times. And people that go out of their way to be seen in a certain way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes sure that they're seen for evil. Sometimes it's an extreme example. Sometimes it's a far more minor case. And Imam Ibn Qutaybah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions something that he witnessed in his own life. He says that, I remember once attending the janazah of a man that we considered to be a great scholar. And this was a man that used to remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people would leave his sermons, the people would leave his khutab in tears. But when that man passed away, there was a woman that showed up at his janazah and started to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against him. And so we started to inquire, we said, who is this woman that's cursing him? And we found out that it was actually his wife. His own wife, subhanallah, was calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy him. Was calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish him in the grave and to punish him in hellfire. And Imam Ibn Qutaybah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that we were shocked. And he said, we went to the masjid that day and we found that the manbar that man used to preach from, the pulpit that man used to preach from was covered in filth. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes a person. Subhanallah, that since, you know, this whole time we thought this person was great. But he was a monster at home. You know, look how he was treating his wife. Look what he was doing to his family. Clearly, he was actually a zalim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes people that go out of their way to show off, that go out of their way to have their names mentioned in a certain way, to have their, you know, to be famous, whatever it may be, to have a great reputation and to display false piety. Allah will expose that person. Even if it's a person with three or four people that they're showing off to. If it wasn't sincerely for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would expose them. And so there's another part of that. That even if a person is not exposed in this world, because it wasn't sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us in a hadith from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this hadith is honestly, it should make your hair stand on your arms. And on, I mean, subhanAllah, it's a very terrifying hadith because it reminds us about what the role of ikhlas is in this entire talk, this entire discourse of building a legacy, the role of sincerity. The Prophet ﷺ said in this authentic hadith in a Tirmidhi, مَا مِن مَيِّتٍ يَمُوتُ فَيَقُومُ بَاكِهِ. There is no person who passes away and the people stand and they start to cry for him. And they say, wa sayyida, what a noble person he was. You know, what a great person he was. You know, when people pass away, they all have the same description. He was the kindest person. He was always smiling. He was always this. He was always that. You know, I never had a better friend. If you watch the news, every single night, you're going to hear the same thing. When they interview the relatives of people that have passed away, it's the same thing every single time. Right? You know, that was the best daughter that you could ever have. The best husband that you could ever have. The best this, the best that. It's natural. And that also could become a form of hypocrisy as well, which is why the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from eulogizing our dead, from giving those types of eulogies in the first place. It could hurt the dead, right? And the Prophet ﷺ said, as people stand up and they start to say, wa habala, wa sayyida, so on and so forth, aw nahwa dhalik, the Prophet ﷺ said, or something of that sort, Rasulullah ﷺ says, wukkila bihi malakan. Two angels are appointed for him. And what are these two angels doing? The Prophet ﷺ says, وَكِّلَ بِهِ مَلَكَانِ يَلْهَزَانِهِ أَهَاكَذَا كُنْتْ أَهَاكَذَا كُنْتْ أَهَاكَذَا كُنْتْ. That these two angels are poking him in his grave. As he's listening to the people say all of these great things about him, these angels are poking him in the grave and are saying, أَهَاكَذَا كُنْتْ. Were you really like that? Are you really what they say about you? Is that really true? SubhanAllah, it's very dangerous. Can you imagine? Because the last thing to be taken from us as we're placed in our grave is our hearing. As Rasulullah said, you would hear the footsteps, the last footsteps to leave your janazah. You would hear them. You would hear yourself being left alone. But imagine as the people are saying, MashaAllah, this person was this. MashaAllah, this person was that. MashaAllah, this person. And you weren't really that person. And in your grave, these angels are poking you as you're listening to these words and saying, أَهَكَذَا كُنْتْ. Were you really that person that they thought you were? Were you really that amazing person? Were you really the best son? Were you really the best daughter? Were you really the greatest father, mother, husband, wife? Is that really you? And that is a form of torment in and of itself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when that happens, that if that happens, that we're able to say, na'am, yes, we hope that we were that person. We hope that we were that person. But legacy is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not with the people, it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the day. You could leave this world completely unknown. But if you were pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your legacy is great. Your legacy is far greater than the most influential person of our last century or so on and so forth. You could leave this person unknown to the people as long as you are known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the day, it is a legacy. It is something special. So there's the component of sincerity, and there's the component of benefits. And one of the greatest tricks of shaitan, and I know this is going to be quite offensive to some people, but I have to say it because I do think it is a serious trick of shaitan, is that people think legacy on a grand scale. And so for example, a person would say, I'm not a scholar now, I'm not a student. When I go overseas one day, or when I become an alim, or when I become this, then I'm going to benefit some people, I'm going to teach some people. I guarantee you, there are people that are amongst us now that maybe accepted Islam that don't know how to read Qur'an. And you know how to read Qur'an perhaps. Why don't you teach them how to read Qur'an? Why don't you teach what you know? Why, it doesn't have to be giving a lecture. It doesn't have to be giving a class. Think in your own capacity. And you know what? If you're not even that, then what about da'wah? What about la ilaha illallah? You have la ilaha illallah. Other people don't have la ilaha illallah. Are you doing something about that or not? Right? Some people would say, well, you know what? Right now, I don't have much money. When I have a lot of money, then I'll give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask you about the amount on the Day of Judgment that you gave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about the proportion. يُسْأَلُ عَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقَ. Allah azza wa jalla will ask you where you got your money from, how you spent it. It's about your proportion. You don't need to say, one day when I become rich, or if I had $1 million, I'm going to be at that fundraiser and I'm going to pledge $500,000. I'm going to give half my wealth. You don't need to think that way. Think in your own capacity. Or when people, and subhanAllah, this is bringing it now to a very personal level, and I know that when people would say something along the lines of, when I have a lot of money, I used to have kids that would say that all the time, when I have a lot of money, inshallah, I'm going to buy my parents a nice house. I'm going to buy my dad a nice car. But as of right now, you're not even willing to run an errand for your parents. You don't even speak kind words to your parents. So what do you mean, when I get rich, I'm going to take care of you, dad, I'm going to take care of you, mom? How about right now with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to you? Or if I was in charge of the masjid, I would do this and I would do that and I would do this and I would do that and I put all these elaborate programs on. You're not even involved in the current programs in the masjid. You're not even coming to salah. What are you talking about? If you were in charge, then you would make this the most amazing masjid in the country, and you would bring this and you would bring that and you would bring this. So in essence, we have to knock the Superman mentality or the super Muslim mentality. That if I had, then I would do. Instead, I have, so I will do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you a capacity. Use that capacity, because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about on the Day of Judgments. And remove the sentences from your speech that sound like this. Why don't they do this? Why don't we tell them to do this? Why don't you ask them to do this? If I was, then I would. Those are sentences that are not spoken by a believer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a people that act for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what's been given to them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people that benefit for the sake of Allah. And we ask Allah to forgive us for our shortcomings. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al muslimin fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafur rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa la udwana illa ala al-zalimeen. والعاقبة للمتقين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, just to share a few ahadith to end this khutbah, because when we end with the words of the Prophet ﷺ, again, inshallah, we have specific recommendations. Rasulullah ﷺ says in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Man hafara bi'ra ma," that whoever constructs a small well that will fulfill the thirst of an ins, of a human being, a jinn, a ta'ira, a ba'ir, a human, a jinn, a beast, a bird, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for it on the day of judgment. إِلَّا أَجَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. There's no person who does any of those things except Allah will reward him accordingly on the day of judgment. وَمَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا كَمِفْحَسِ قَطَاتْ أَوْ أَسْخَرًا. Whoever builds for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a masjid that is the size of a bird's nest or even smaller than that, بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will build for him a home in paradise. There's no fundraiser today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us here in this hadith a physical prescription of benefiting people and a spiritual way. The ulama say the small well of water is to benefit people for the sake of Allah physically. The small bird's nest of a masjid is to benefit them spiritually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not let that go to waste. We also know the famous hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when a person passes away, everything is cut off except for three things. A sadaqa jariya, a continuous charity. A charity that continues to reap fruit. Or, waladun salih yad'u lah, a righteous child. And here the ulama, they say that walad does not necessarily mean a child, anyone that would make dua for you, but the child is most likely to make dua for you. So someone that would make dua for you, or ilmun yuntafa'u bih, a knowledge that will benefit people. Again, these are things that would serve as a continuous means of benefiting far after you leave. Maybe detached from glory, but they will build a legacy for you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, an even more detailed hadith, and it's an authentic hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that's narrated in Sahih ibn Majah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Inna mimma yalhaqu al-mu'min min amali," that verily that which will follow a believer from his deeds, ba'da mawtihi, after he passes away, عِلْمًا عَلَّمَهُ وَنَشَرَهُ وَوَلَدًا صَالِحًا تَرَكَهُ وَمُصْحَفًا وَرَّثَ أَوْ مَسْجِدًا بَنَاهُ أَوْ بَيْتًا لِبْنِ السَّبِيلِ بَنَاهُ أَوْ نَهْرًا أَجْرَاهُ أَوْ صَدَقَةً أَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ مَالِهِ فِي صِحَّتِهِ وَحَيَاتِهِ يَلْحَقُهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ, he gave a lot of categories here. He said that verily the rewards that would follow a believer after he passes away from his good deeds are knowledge that he taught and that he spread. عَلَّمَهُ وَنَشَرَ. He taught it and he spread it. A righteous son that he leaves behind, or a righteous daughter that he leaves behind. A copy of the Qur'an that he leaves behind. A masjid that he builds. A home that he builds for wayfarers, for orphans, for homeless people. A canal that he digs. Or a charity that he gives during his lifetime, فِي صِحَّتِهِ, while he's in good health. He gives the charity in his good health. And while he's still alive, the Prophet ﷺ said, surely those deeds will all reach him after he passes away. These are all things that are within our capability, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to do good. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to your full potential. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you a person that always tries to see avenues of benefiting the people for His sake alone. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you a person that seeks His mention rather than the mention of people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sincerity, and we ask Allah for forgiveness. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا ولا تعذبنا. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا، رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وأخرجنا وإخواننا من بينهم سالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمائه يزد لكم. ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.